This morning, we talked about being prepared. And this afternoon, now that we're prepared, let's hold fast. Let's talk about that, and hopefully this will be relatively short. So, first of all, I'd like to read from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. It's pretty much the entire chapter, but 2 Timothy 1 through 14. And in here, we're looking at emphasizing Timothy's unfeigned faith, and also in verse 13 about holding the pattern. But Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, in a pure conscience, how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, for which cause I suffer also these things. Yet I am not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, guard through the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us." So you notice here, as we look at Paul writing to Timothy, many admonitions here for him to hold fast, to dwell in the in the faith that he's been taught, that he's been told to hold the pattern of sound works. And in the last verse there, verse 14, it says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, guard through the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us." So holding fast is something that we've been advised to do, certainly through Timothy here, to do. And something that we need to stand by. So as we look at this, we understand that also in 2 Timothy, in the third chapter, and in verses 14 through 17, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 14 through 17, Paul says, "But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." So once again, Paul admonishes Timothy to abide by these things, as he says in verse 14, abide in those things, and that he's known these, he says, from a babe. So his parents and his grandmother have been teaching him these things since he was a little child. So when we look at Paul's words here, we understand that he tells Timothy to abide in these things. And if we look in a Strong's dictionary of Greek words about this, Strong says that Greek word is defined as to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. So that's something that we're supposed to stay in. I think we can use the word abide sufficiently in our daily language to know what that means. And he was trained in the scriptures by his formerly Jewish mother and perhaps his Christian grandmother. I don't know. It says that he was trained in the scriptures by both of them. But, of course, it says that his mother was... I'm going to have to buy another one of these. That his mother was a Jewess that believed. So we're not going to say that she was a Jewish Jewess that believed in the Old Testament. That's redundant all over again. A Jewess that believed means that she was a Jew, and now she's a Christian. So given that the whole family was living together there, we might think that since Timothy is obviously a Christian, that Eunice is a Christian, that perhaps Lois is also. That would be nice to think, though we don't have any word about that. But anyway, we see that Paul then encouraged him to hold fast to the faith, to abide in the things which he has learned. And that's important. Timothy was encouraged in this. In holding fast, we need to hold fast to a number of things. I think I have about three here. We need to hold fast to God's covenant. And we can see that, for example, in Isaiah, the 56th chapter, in verses 1 through 8, where Isaiah talks about holding fast God's covenant. Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Thus saith Jehovah, keep ye justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that holdeth it fast, that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the foreigner that hath joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Jehovah of the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant. Unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the foreigners that join themselves to Jehovah to minister unto him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it and holdeth fast my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord Jehovah, who gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet I will gather others to him besides his own that are gathered. So Isaiah in this place shows us indeed that God is welcoming everybody to hold fast to his covenants. That this is for all peoples, as it says in verse 7. Also, when we look at what Paul has to say to the brethren in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, he says, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that you remember me in all things and hold fast the traditions, even as I delivered them to you. So Paul encourages them to hold fast to these traditions. And of course, as we look through the New Testament, we understand that the traditions has to do with our gospel. If we look in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verses 14 and 15, see here that Paul says to those in Thessalonica, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. So we see that indeed, when Paul talks to those in Thessalonica here, that he equates the gospel and the holding of the traditions, as he also did in 1 Corinthians 11. We're also supposed to, in this, hold fast the word. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein ye also stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. So once again, God's covenant is to be held on to, the traditions, the word that's being spoken, the gospel is to be held fast to. not forgotten, not turned away from. Another thing that we want to hold fast is our confession. Hebrews, the fourth chapter in verses 14 and 15. Here the writer of the Hebrew letter says, "Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." And so here the Hebrew writer says that we need to hold fast our confession. But then Paul explains what our confession is. That's interesting. I put Paul. Okay, I'm going to go the Hebrew writer. I'm going to have to fix that. So the Hebrew writer goes on to explain what our confession is. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 19 through 27. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 19 through 27. The Hebrew writer says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries." And so the writer of the Hebrew book tells us that we have to hold fast our confession, and then he tells us that the confession is the confession of our hope. Hold fast that confession. And so our hope is in the gospel, as has been mentioned previously when we were talking about the previous things that we're to hold on to, in other words, to God's covenant. In addition to holding on to God's covenant and our confession, we also need to hold fast to our integrity. And a definition of that is a rigid adherence to a code of behavior. That's just a dictionary definition of that. But one book that you might think that we would get the idea of integrity from would be the book of Job. And we'll go there as soon as I get to the next point. The synonym for integrity is essentially honesty. If I hold my integrity, I'm being honest. And so we go to Job, the second chapter, in verses 9 and 10. This is when Job was first afflicted, and his wife talking to him, starting at verse 9, it says, Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still hold fast thine integrity?" In other words, your honesty. But also, it's more than that. It's something that you hold deeply. "Renounce God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Of course, we go through the next about 40 chapters, and we realize that there was a lot of misspeaking going on throughout the whole thing there. So, but also further on down in Job, the 27th chapter, in verses 4 through 6, Job says, "Surely my lips shall not speak unrighteousness, neither shall my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live." Job was very convinced and concerned that his integrity, you might say, was being maligned. So he's mentioned these couple of times how honest he is and how faithful to God indeed that he is. Of course, as we read through the book of Job, we understand that some of the things that he has to say are not exactly the way that God looks at them. Well, if we're to hold fast to God's covenant, we're to hold fast our confession, if we're to hold fast our integrity, then there's got to be things that we've been admonished not to hold fast to. One of those would be, of course, deceit. A goodly sized reading in Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 15, talks about not holding fast to this deceit. In Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 5, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repenteth him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turneth to his course as a horse that rusheth headlong in the battle. Yea, the stork in the heavens knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the swallow and the crane observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the law of Jehovah. How do ye say, We are wise, and the law of Jehovah is with us? But behold, the false pen of the scribes hath wrought falsely. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Jehovah, and what manner of wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall possess them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. And they have healed the hurt of my daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith Jehovah. I will utterly consume them, saith Jehovah. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them." Some powerful words from Jeremiah, essentially from God, to these people who refuse to just follow after God. That's all they needed to do, but they refused to do this. They even went so far as to say, "We will not walk therein." Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, in verses 15 and 16, Jeremiah says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." Once again, he says that. "Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein." Some serious words on their part, and that's unfortunate for them, that they would not listen to God. Something else that we're not supposed to hold fast to is the tradition of men. If we look at Mark, the 7th chapter, in verses 6 through 9, we'll see about the commandments of God, and the commandments are the traditions of men. In Mark, the 7th chapter, in verses 6 through 9, the writer, it's written here, "And he said unto them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching us their doctrines, the precepts of men. Ye leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said unto them, Full well do you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition." Just to think that the Savior of the world is saying this to you has got to be pretty powerful. Of course, they didn't believe that that's what he was, but the fact of the matter is that Jesus was holding them, holding their feet to the fire, as it were, and they decided to hold fast the tradition of men, much like the people in Jeremiah said, "We will not walk therein." And so, a couple of things that we're not to hold fast to would be deceit and the tradition of men. So we see that there are things to which we are to hold fast and things that we are to shun turn away from. So after we've learned to be prepared, then we should hold fast the things that we've discussed here. So even though Timothy was taught well, he still needed to be steadfast in his own faithfulness. This is something that only he could hold by himself. In other words, he couldn't stand on the shoulders of his grandmother or his mother and say, well, that's good enough. No, he had to believe it himself. Of course, we see that in the many times that Timothy is mentioned in the New Testament, that indeed Timothy was a strong and faithful Christian, holding the traditions of God well. So not relying on his mother's or his grandmother's faith, but on his own faith. And Paul admonished us all, for example, in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verses 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verses 21 and 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. And in essence, that's what Paul had told Timothy in several places in his books to him, in his letters to him. We're also supposed to hold fast in the confidence that we have in the Word of God. Hebrews, the third chapter, in verses 12 through 14, the writer here says, take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. And if we do that, then no one will take your crown away. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 11. I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take... let me try that again. I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Hold fast. That indeed is what we're supposed to do, is to hold fast to the Word of God. And so as we look at these things, we understand that we're supposed to hold on to God's covenant, that we're supposed to hold on to our confession, which is our hope in God and in Christ, that we're supposed to hold on to our integrity or our honesty, you might say. And we're supposed to shun deceit or lying or being false. And we also need to shun the traditions of men. In all of these things, as we study through things that we need to hold fast, we also need to understand that several people in the New Testament asked, then, what must I do to be saved? And these people had integrity. They were looking for the hope that had been shown to them. And so when we respond to their question of what must I do to be saved, we understand that we have to hear the word of God, Romans 10, verse 1. What saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so we have to hear the word of God. And we have to understand that the faith that we have can come through that which is being preached. We have to believe in that word. And we have to believe in the author of that word, perhaps we should say. In Romans the 10th chapter and verse 11, where the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Now, a lot of people just like to take this and say, that's it. But, I mean, we've just looked at this one, hearing the word of God. You have to do that. But you also have to believe in that word. So that's two things you have to do already. We also have to repent of our sins. That's very clearly stated in the New Testament. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And with the mouth, we have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 15, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God. And we see that confession mentioned a number of times in the New Testament. And we see that indeed it has to do with an actual verbal confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And of course, we have to be immersed in water or baptized for the remission of our sins. And that, of course, is in Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, is one of the many places that this is mentioned. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once we've done those things, then we can call ourselves Christians. And according to John, the book of John, chapter 1, that gives us the right to become children of God. We are not just simply by our existence on this earth children of God. We are children of God when we obey the things that God has given us. And so when we follow those five things that we've just mentioned, then we become a Christian. And then, of course, we have to remain faithful after that. And that is Revelation, the second chapter and verse 10, as we talk about that. This is the latter half of that verse. The first part of the verse has to do with persecution. And when it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, you can look at that and see, well, it's even if your faith causes your death, you have to be faithful. But of course, we have to remain faithful all of our lives. And so that's the lesson for this afternoon. And I hope that some of the points that were made are something that will prick your conscience and that will help you to understand that having prepared to be the kind of person that you need to be, that you can hold fast your tradition, the traditions that have been that you've learned and now believe in. And so if we can help you in any way by becoming Christian, by immersing you in water for the remission of your sins, or if we can pray for you on your behalf if you're a Christian, that things will go well or better with you, we hope that you'll make that known as we stand and sing this song.